Blog Talk Radio.
Solo, but I sort of got into it this week. So that is Ice House with Electric Blue, and I thought that was sort of vaguely sensible since this week's theme on our show is Cobalt Blue, and I'm joined, as always, by my friend and colleague, Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter, how are you? Hello, Hatter. Are you with me? Well, I'd be on mute. Anyway.
So a few words about
Ice House. Ice House, a band that it still is going since 1977, of all things. It's a 30-year-old band. It has had 25 members through it in the period, but its mainstay is Ivor Davies, who's the producer and songwriter and singer, and does some guitar and bass and keyboards and even oboe, for God's sake. He's multi-talented. Brilliant voice. And they had a number of hits, mainly in the mid-1980s, and were very famous for the use of and pickup of synthesizers. They had the Fairlight that they used in the mid-80s that basically...
They're a big Aussie band.
The front. Yeah, Australian band, out of Sydney, based themselves in Melbourne, but got into the Australian Hall of Fame in 2006, so a good 15 years ago. 8 top 10 albums, 20 top 40 singles in Australia, so a brilliant band. And Ivor Davies is just
25 members?
Yeah, over the period,
Wow.
Yeah, they're famous for... their standards, and Ivor Davies having the say on who's making the cut, add up. So there you go.
Do they have a complete horn section? Yeah. You know, trombone, trumpet, and the sax.
No, they just had a great. That is one saxophonist, had up. Bloody good saxophonist, but one saxophonist. So there you go. So we're going to pick up our guests here, and it's Stephen and or Kay and or just Stephen. Hello, 4-4.
Hello.
Hello.
That sounds like Stephen. Hi, how are you?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Hello. Are you well, Stephen? Oh, it's Kay too. Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
No, I'm well, thank you. I'm well. I'm looking forward to the wonderful world of Cobalt Blue, which is our theme for this week. And I thought it was a sort of cool topic, it sort of stumped had it, but that's okay. We'll work it through. But it even seems you've got a piece, Stephen. I see.
Yes, I do.
And so, given that oft times you are busy-ish, I thought I would put it in the room for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do have to get up early once again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But first, before I read it, I got to say that that casserole that you had for lunch looks like it's ham, egg, hash browns, and cheese. Am I right?
Very close. It is... ham, it's actually, there's actually a pink salmon in there as well, a can of pink salmon, and carrot in a quiche with the sort of short crust pastry, which I've managed to get through half of, which wasn't a bad effort, really. So
it looks delicious.
Desperately easy recipe. Ah, and there's somebody else at the door. Goodness me. Holy, good Lord. There's people at the door till you can be blue in the face. Hello and welcome to 434.
Hi.
And Brandy.
Hi.
Wait, I'm on screen around for a bit. I couldn't write for a show because nothing came to mind. My brain went on strike.
No, it's okay. Brains go on strike. That's what they do. Hello and welcome, 612, to the show. Hello, 612.
It's a drop there. Hello, it's Lars.
Ah,
Lars.
It's Mr. Lars. Home of all good bear competitions. Lovely to have you on board. And welcome to 03. Hello and welcome, 603.
Hi.
Hello, Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky. How are you? So, hello and welcome, everybody. Meantime, I'm going to go back to the board and say it was a heck of a quiche, Stephen. I really quite liked it, and there's half of it left, which is even better. However, that has nothing to do with your poem, I suspect, unless I draw a very, 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 very long bow, which I can't see how I can. So I'm going to be in your hands, Stephen, to read your piece.
All right, well. Cobalt blue, and I had to go with the blue kitchen from the movie Weird Science when everything went crazy towards the end and suddenly the kitchen turned and everything in it.
There
so I call this, yes, even the Kool-Aid turned to blue raspberry. From knotty pine to cobalt blue, kitchen cupboard stained. Cream vinyl tile was on the floor, but now our azure plain. Speckled formica of white and black, now lapis lazuli. Lying sinks of stainless steel are cerulean as the sea. Refrigerator once was tan, as barrel as the sky. The range at least still matches it. No need to wonder why. Spurious girl that we did make has turned your kitchen blue. Only things that aren't stippled. Nuclear missile, me and you. End poem.
Well, I have thought of many things in the cobalt blue theme and variety and family, but I have to say, I did not think of Weird Science. Sagai, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's bluish piece?
Oh, I wish we were in our studio, Stephen, because I pressed the button. Hello, you little maniacs. This was just brilliant. I love that you brought this in there. I haven't seen this movie in so long. You make me want to watch it again. It was a good one. I love the from the knotty pine to the cobalt blue, kitchen cupboard stained, cream vinyl tile was on the floor, but now are in store playing. I like how you write K-N-O-T-T-Y, and I don't know, it just might be putting context into my own view of the movie, but she always just looked very menacing in troublemaking for the boys, and I just like that parody on that, that I find it. I thought it was brilliant, wonderful to the scene, and you definitely make me want to see it again. I love the way your mind works, too. You say blue and you think that the movie scene. I think it's brilliant. Wonderfully done.
Thanks,
Steve. Oh, I would never have gone there, Stephen, which is impressive. So, Hatter, what did you think of a throwback to the movie and the imagery there?
Yeah, I never saw the movie. But, yeah. All blue appliances in a guy's house.
Yeah,
special taste. You can get anything in cobalt blue. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm up there.
Yeah.
I'm up there. I was in all the way through. Now we've got a couple more callers. I think we have to say hello to our friend and producer and person that sort of makes everything work. Hello, Deb. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. And we do have another caller. Hello, and welcome, 506. How are you, 506?
Hello, it's Lady A.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Lady A, how you doing, huh?
Good. Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Good. It's a long story.
Everybody along, which is fantastic. Deb, I think we should do the collaboration fairly shortly. I do have to say, Stephen, I suspect you probably have to disappear fairly shortly. And did you want to give a plug to any of your shows upcoming before you do have to disappear?
Yes, thank you. Monday night normally is the Mortuary of Shadows, but this week it is not. It is a tribute for Memorial Day. Still at the same time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, over at A Poetic Slice of Life. Honor the vets.
Beautiful. Beautiful thing.
Hoorah.
Well done. So I have for everybody, including Stephen, if he wants to take part, I have a question for you all, and there is 500 points in it. There is 500 points for a correct answer to this question on the board. Okay? And the question is, can you name a famous antiquity with cobalt blue glass in it or on it? Question. Can you name a famous antiquity with cobalt blue on it? And that has to go on the board. Because otherwise, we'll have a mass of, you know, things going on that whatever.
Is that for everybody to answer? Or?
That is for everybody, Lady A. You can go for it. Go for it. Onto the board. Onto the board. What could be the antiquity that I might be thinking about that is the most famous, well, one of the most famous in the history of the history of antiquities, really, that could be up on the board as we speak right now. So I'm waiting for those responses to come in. And if it doesn't happen, I do have an image. And from the image, it'll be 200 points. But if somebody gets it before then, it'll be 500. So there you go. A famous antiquity. I can say that it had a lot of gold in it. It had a lot of gold.
It's got what in it?
As well.
Okay, we have to write it on the board.
You have to write it on the wall. Yep, you have to post it on the wall. It actually had 24 pounds of gold, this antiquity, Hatter. 24 pounds gold. And it had cobalt blue. 24 pounds of gold, and it had cobalt blue.
Gold and blue.
Yep, cobalt blue glass. 24 pounds of gold.
It's famous.
So we're up for 500 points, and we're waiting for some answers to come on the board.
I don't know what it...
Does anybody know?
I don't know what it's called.
Do you know what it was, Hatter?
excited stuff.
I've got a picture, an Indian elephant garb or something Indian.
If we can't get it without an image, I'm going to put an image up on the board now. And the image should be up on the board now.
Tutankhamun.
It is Tutankhamun. And interestingly enough, that had that mask had 24 karat gold, but the blue is cobalt blue glass.
There's a famous ashtray that's cobalt blue with gold in it.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that, Lady O. I think if you use that mask as a ashtray, it might be trouble. But there you go.
Carnage.
24 pounds of gold plus a whole stack of cobalt glass. And so, cobalt glass was first used by the Egyptians in 2000 BC. That was when it was first used. Cobalt glass was first used by the Egyptians in 2000 BC. And then because, you know, the Romans went and copied everything from them, because that's just what Rome did. You know, they got a lot of stuff from the Egyptians. They got stuff from the Sumerians. They got stuff from everybody. The Romans went and copied it. So now, Deb, did you want to read the collaboration while we have everybody around?
I sure would, and I put it on the board already.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We're in your hands. But from Tutankhamun to a collaboration between Hatter and I. I'm not quite sure how we do the link there, but anyway, we'll find it out.
Talk about one end of the spectrum to another. Okay.
The blind this is never. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have it yet. Is it up there?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's up there.
Riddle me this. Okay, I got it. Sorry.
Okay, and this is the blind collaboration. Hatter and AP get a photo, and they each send me lines without speaking to each other, and this is the outcome. It's number 46 for them. It's called Riddle Me This, Sir Wizard and Mr. Hat. Here we go. Angry moons rise too soon, the light can no longer see, that the moon is sticking a tongue out of the face. The angry poet seems to know it, but cannot remember their name, and time is driving into the quicksand with a pace. Peppered skies will always try, but purple wins the day, and the crimson apples are being baked into stew. Stuck in the pudding, no longer moving, you pose along the way. Now it appears his time is about due. Slightless ants begin to chant, still there are jelly beans at every space, because they never knew the words juice dribbles within heated haste. Clothespins hung for not being done, and peppers spicing the baked strudel. They swing to ease all the pain from question 26, the doodle. Guessing by twos, I thought it was you, but now I just don't care. Here the sun is so hot, it is melting the green pear as melted faces litter the places poets come to die. Just look at that one, it's hurrying downwards upon the stair. Trunks of seven won't fit in heaven, it's only half past hell. So he carries the trunk around the thin middle, reaching for things tied to the string, wound too tightly to breathe, showing that nothing is certain in this riddle. And poem.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Nice.
That's amazing. Yeah, I had to agree with Lady A.
Very nice. Lady A, did you want to say some words, and then we'll go to Brandy?
Yes, I would. I thought this was very, well, I just think it's brilliant the way you guys put things together anyway when you're writing and you don't even know what the other is writing. And then Deb is the mastermind to piece it all together to make sense, and it really does. There's, when you say angry moons rise too soon, the light can no longer see. I have a feeling of angry mood throughout this piece, but I think Oh, you know, like everything is like stuck in the pudding, no longer moving. You pose along the way. There's a lot of different things in here that, where's the other one? Sorry. They swing to ease all the pain from question 26, the doodle. I'm just skipping, but I think the whole thing is really very wonderland, first of all.
Yeah.
It is whimsical, but in a very kind of sad way. Maybe it's me because I'm in a sad mood, but I think that this, again, it's very wonderland. It's creative and it evokes a lot of emotion for me, I guess.
Now we're going to go to Brandy, and then after that we're going to go to Sky. And Sky, I think you have a time crunch, so if you could put your poem up on the board for us, that would be great. So, Brandy, what did you think of that piece as it was coming through?
You know, I don't know if many of you remember an old psychedelic movie called Heavy Metal back in like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mainly got out of this. I'm sitting here reading Heavy Metal right here.
Cool.
And, you know, every chance I get, you know, I tend to get busy or get tired. You know, I get tired easily nowadays. But when I get the treat to, you know, come on the show and read, you know, one of these pieces, I get to sit up and listen for once. But it's like with this poem, it's like you're describing the picture, but you're not describing the picture, you know. You got pieces where,
yes.
You know, you got the grave, you know, the person going to the grave, you got the man's head sticking out the camera lens, you know, you just got so much going on in the picture, and you captured it well without having to describe the picture in your poem. And then to have all
there
these lines plucked up by, you know, Hatter and AP, it's just, you know, shoot, now I want to watch Heavy Metal.
That's kind of fun. I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's okay. Thank you to Stephen for calling, because I know he had to disappear. Now, Sky, did you have a piece that you wanted to put up on the board for us?
Yes. I just want to say that I thought this was really, really well put together. I like how you say here, the peppered skies will always try, but purple wins the day, and the crimson apples are being baked in stew. Stuck in the pudding, no longer moving, you pose along the way. I mean, that's a pretty weird concoction, and I think it is fantastical, and it's giving and very, very creative, as Lady A said. And then again, you know, to echo, too, and also the word peppered is up here, and pepper in spicing baked strudel, and I'm kind of curious if you both said peppered or if that was the same person bringing in the pepper. Because it would be funny if you guys both simultaneously used the word pepper. And so I would be curious to know that. And then again, the darker bit, so the guest by twos, I thought it was you, but now I just don't care. Here the sun is so hot and the green pear as melting faces litter the places poets come to die. And again, to echo what Lady A was saying there are those darker, sinister undertones, but in a fantastical and very, very creative way. Really cool bringing in all the aspects and bits of the picture there. And, of course, wonderful Deb for putting all those lines together as well.
So can I say...
Thanks.
And
quick response there, yes. They both individually used peppered. That's just how good they are.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's the first thing. That's one of the first things I noticed. And I'm like, and I started, the wheels started turning. I'm like, I wonder if they both did it, but just different,
mm-hmm.
you know, separately. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was peppered sky.
What?
Mine was peppered skies will always try. Bees had a pepper. That's what you're asking, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm asking if you both use the word pepper or forward the same poet, because I think it's a pretty cool coincidence.
Yeah, so that's the two of them. And APs is pepper, spice, and baked strudel. So even when they don't try, they just do.
Coincide. Even when they don't try, they coincide.
Mm-hmm.
They're twins. Like that. And they're twins.
We're waiting to have the same line.
In an Arnold Schwarzenegger and sort of Danny DeVito way with twins. Now, Sky, did you have a piece you wanted to put on the board? Because I know you're under a time crunch.
I do. It's not Cobalt because I asked Deb if I could bring my poem because I brought my poem to her show, but we were all celebrating, and then I was like, get this off the board. We need to do your poem. I didn't want to. So I was wondering if I could bring it in. She said yes. So I uploaded the SoundCloud in, and you could press play. It's under Sky for Deb. And it should be right at the top. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't check the volume.
Got it.
No,
then it's all good. Okay. I'm playing now. Here we go.
Crow song fiddles that froth in the night by Sky Darkholm. In the dark, time was eaten like smoke dragons curling round moonstones. An arena of star confetti and bristlecone pine, a sky soil of rye bone and parched skin. Scattered rows of trinket wishes evaporating into the hollows of a changeling aerial dusk. A bridle of obsidian soot, sage-brushed lava stones of cathedral gray washed in thin layers of parchment. And who dare write on such a palimpsest in rat-tooth grins and incubus narratives, crow song fiddles that frost in the night, like a fireside gravedigger on steeple cliffs, a cadaver lighthouse calling the souls of the dead. Who dare beckon kin like the walrus and carpenter, a malice of bleak proverb neath thief like him? Who dare but I, the reaper of time, and poem.
The reaper of time, intriguing. Hannah, did you want to say a few words about Sky's piece?
Yeah, choo-choo-choo-choo.
It's out of Wonderland, isn't it? Because I put the walrus and the carpenter, and that's a poem in Alice in Wonderland, and that was the story in which I referenced. So it does have Wonderland in it.
Okay, yeah, because I am the walrus, choo-choo-choo-choo.
But it wasn't meant for that. It was meant for the walrus and the carpenter, which is an Alice in Wonderland poem.
Got it. No, that makes perfect sense.
You're one of the big three. Sky, you're one of the big three with the with Kay and Pretty Bird, and you guys write sort of similar. And I always have to go back and reread everything. And this is one.
It's kind of fun. I like the color you use.
I remember though, this.
Heather. I like color use. I like. That's a good question. Where have you seen that picture? Right?
That's from Deb's personal prompt. This is from Deb's personal prompt that she had for her birthday. But I wasn't. I needed to go. So yeah. So I told her I would bring it to this one.
Okay. Mystery solved.
Perfect. So we should get a comment from Deb. Deb, can you give us a comment, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really shocked when Sky chose this photo, to be honest. I was like, wow. Actually, in total honesty, I was blown away that this particular artist in my multiple artist show was picked clean. So I couldn't wait to see what you did with it. And I was totally not expecting this. And I remember reading it because it was – the curiosity was driving me crazy, and I already have it on my amazing brevity list because, like, it was deep and dark, and then with the music in the background really added to the texture of it. But the ending is like, wow. Who dare beckon kin like the walrus and carpenter, a malice, a bleak proverb, neath deep like hymns, who dare but I? The Reaper of Time. And that ending is like, drop the mic, good. This is an excellent piece, Sky. Your IOUs are always incredible.
Thank you.
Batman doing it.
Beautifully done.
In the picture.
Beautiful. Who is that then?
Yeah, what's he doing in the picture?
Batman.
Is that who that was? The call dropped.
Yes.
Oh.
It'd be Lars. Yes.
Oh.
So, anyways, we appreciate, Sky, that you actually came on board and that you actually were able to do that poem for us instead of on Deb's show. Now you have to disappear. I'm guessing.
Yes, I will be. I will be going. I did plan on Deb's show. Told them to forego all the comments and everything because I wanted to get Deb's poem read. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. No. Well done.
Yeah. You don't have any shows to plug?
Oh yeah, I do. Thank you. Saturday night, 8 p.m. We're doing the movie Willow. You can write about the characters, the quotes, anywhere you want to go.
Perfect.
Cool.
Brilliantly done. Well done. Thank you, Scott. And thank you for calling. Always lovely to hear your voice.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Sky.
Okay. Have fun.
Night, Sky. Unfortunately, I couldn't write anything cobalt blue. My brain was not having it.
Well, I was going to say, I did a couple of little brevities. Brandy. So I did a couple of brandies. So I thought what I would do is put the first one of those on the board because I led in beautifully with my little discussion about the, all three of them have gone together. That's kind of weird. I led in quite nicely with my Egypt sort of discussion because I found this really nice little cup. I hope you'll agree. I found a really nice little cup, and it's up on the board now. It's called a small cup, a little brevity. It goes like this. Delicate, the finest blue, as thin as paper in design. Finest filigree through in a cup used for wine. Small handles of frail, colour cobalt a rich blue, passed by fire to be pale, so captures light in two. Is beautifully designed, the museum is its home, as the piece dated we find, from the times of Rome.
Ooh.
It's a little wine chalice from 100 AD.
So AP, let me ask you something. You yes. did this time in an antique, in the antique industry, right? What
yes, I
is
did.
In,
yes.
the, in that cobalt blue yeah. glass? Yeah, the cobalt blue glass. What are you looking for an expensive piece rather than a copy?
Reproduction.
Well, you're sort of looking for the luster of the blue, patter. I mean, what you tend to find is that the sort of the lighter blue that has a sort of glassy luster to it tends to be the original classic sort of pieces. You can see that sort of luster in the light off that Roman cup.
Yeah.
It's not clear on the surface. It has a luster, and you're looking for that in the really old pieces. If you look at the more modern pieces, you can still get quite a bit of money for them. For example, there was a lot of cobalt blue glassware done in the Great Depression, for example. And there was, very, very famous pieces of cobalt blue with the face of Shirley Temple. And so, you know, those Shirley Temple mugs were basically given away as in grocery stores. But now those things are worth, you know, hundreds of dollars if they're in good shape. And you can see up on the board, I've put an example of the cobalt blue Shirley Temple child's mug that was
Now, is it around... Does it tend to get darker? Does it tend to get darker with age?
No, it doesn't. It keeps the same color, pattern. And so it doesn't go darker. It basically stays the same color. But even those Shirley Temple mugs, a nice Shirley Temple mug in cobalt blue that was given away these days is worth a good couple of $100.
Yeah, that's good craftsmanship. I mean, the way they did it back then was mind-blowing. Now, the process, they just have to add the actual cobalt blue, the mineral?
Yeah, they do. They add the cobalt blue coloring in the actual process of the glass making, and only a very small amount too. And as I said, that was first discovered back in 2000 BC with the Egyptians, and then that got floated on as Lady A put up on the board in that Greek piece, and then from there, from ancient Greece to ancient Rome, and the little cup that I...
When did they start the forging or melting glass, using glass, blowing glass? When was that?
Well, in terms of European sort of times, Patter, it basically got sort of rediscovered in scale in about 1750, up in Sweden, and it sort of went through Europe in the 1800s, but probably its peak time was the early 1900s, because they had lots of bottles that were blue, like castor oil and things like that, that we used cobalt blue glass as the container.
Yeah, wasn't some of the cathedral windows the mosaic, the colored glass, wasn't that like the first before they were doing much of anything else?
They did a lot of that pattern in terms of cathedral windows and even mosques. The mosques were constructed before the time of the more classic cathedrals, but if you have a look, you know, a lot of the brilliant colours of cobalt blue were used in the European cathedral.
Yeah, because it says something about a race or part of the country's history, because that's about the time when they're blowing glass. That's when usually the educators, you come out of the dark ages when that's happening in your history.
Yes. There's something about, you know, using, something about art as an indicator of where a society is up to. And if you have a look up on the board now, Hatter, that glass window is out of
Notre
Dame Cathedral in Paris. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, so some beautiful use of the Cobalt Blue.
Yeah, it was
right.
It was huge. It was huge for the cathedrals to let light in.
Yes,
when they finally could let light in, and to have some brilliantly done with the stained glass, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So, a little bit of.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I have a collection of cobalt blue glass and in different forms, and I'm just going to put them on the wall for you guys to see.
Show us a picture of the bottom one.
Well, I can't do that because I'd have to take a new picture, but they're very I'm just loading them up here now. Hang on. And I'm going to add the last one. I've collected them over the years, and there are milk of magnesia bottles. There's and I have more than what I'm going to send you because I have.
They're lovely.
Hang on. Okay. Did they go up already?
Yeah,
I see them.
Yeah, I'm looking at them.
And you can see there's a milk bottle on this one with the three shelves, and there's a cobalt blue milk bottle, and that's from I do believe from New York. And there's the milk, the medicine bottles with the measuring caps, and milk and magnesia, and there's that rolling pin. That's pretty old.
Yes.
They would put water in that to balance it out.
Oh, okay.
And then you get Noxzema bottles, and I love my blue bottles. I have a few other things too in dishes and that sort of thing, measuring cups and that sort of thing that are back from the 50s, 40s, and 50s. So yeah,
I was going to say
cobalt blue.
Those are from the 40s, Lady A. In terms of the colors and the shapes of them.
Yeah. Yes, and I've given I had a lot of wine bottles that were much newer, like. Wine bottles the vodka bottles they couldn't get to, but the stuff that I kept was all things like this that are very old.
Very nice. Now, you don't have a poem about any of those, do you?
I really do. I just happen to have one.
Do you?
That I think you'll enjoy, and I wrote it quite a long time ago. I'm going to just... Bring it on the wall. Well, I think I wrote it when I was in the closet. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did, but I'm not entirely sure. I have to just look at the date and see how long ago I wrote this. 6 years ago.
In the closet. Not even going to ask.
And how do we your poem after the...
Hatter, tell her about the closet, will you, please?
Yeah, she was a closet poet until she got to us, so you can pretty much gauge her writing.
Three
closets.
We get it.
Set up with
she okay, out so of the here closet. It is. Put it in the room here now. There we go. And it's called Shades of Blue. And it goes like this. Have you ever seen the treasures of the sea? Tides go out and leave behind sea glass in shades of teal. Bring a bucket for the journey under azure skies so clear. Rewards, there are plenty, keepsakes to hold dear. Bits of broken china, the edges worn by sand. Cornflower blue, it seems, to be the one at hand. The shades of all the treasures vary from piece to piece. Baby blue, a precious hue, puts a smile upon your face. If you were in Jamaica, the treasure is the sea. The color is cerulean, as clear can be. Sailing to the East Coast, Canadian waters deep, look over the ship's rail, midnight blue you'll see. Each swell will crest, the sun reflects a perfect canvas piece, an image bright and beautiful, sapphires you will see. Back on the beach for hunting, the best first is saved for last, coveted by all who seek. Cobalt blue, sea glass, and peace.
There you go. And I remember us talking about the fact that you had a whole heap of sea glass, Lady A,
mm-hmm.
and that you wander along the beach and find it. So I didn't realise that you had a cobalt blue glass hunting piece, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wrote. Yeah, I did. I you know, the sea and me were buddies, and I have all different shades of sea glass, and bits
yes.
and pieces of the cobalt blue. I've got actually, I have a picture of my collection of that. Even I might add that to the pot, and I think that the sea offers up all kinds of treasures, but the blue cobalt blue is the most coveted of all the
yes.
The colors of sea glass. I have a big collection of turquoise and some pink, purple,
yes,
like mauve. Yes. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
No, it's lovely. It's just a brilliant color, I think. Just got a beautiful color. It just catches the light beautifully. So, Brandy, did you want to say a few words about
you know what? I'm typing
Lady
A's right now.
Glass.
And I said this, I had to close my eyes and listen to Lady A read this. And I didn't even care about the picture. I just listened to her read this, and I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, yeah, this is the one. You know, I don't have no cobalt blue poems or anything, but I can just sit here and revel and listen to it. And I got the whole scene being played, you know, right before my
oh, okay.
in my mind's eye about everything, you know.
Yeah.
Stand
nice.
Up and take
yeah.
a bow, because this
yeah.
was a wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandy. Great comment. And Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I actually remember this one, because at the time we were talking about the sea glass and stuff, and around here in Cape May, New Jersey, you can find them
mm-hmm.
washed up along the beach, and around here we call them Cape May diamonds. I put a picture on the board too.
Cool.
Yeah, and they go from deep dark black to almost see through, and the see through ones.
Yeah,
well,
right.
all of them they make into jewelry and whatnot. But yeah, Cape May diamonds. Cool.
There you go. I didn't know that. Brilliant stuff.
Can you collect them, though, Deb, too, yourself?
I have some around with the seashells and the seagull feathers and the sea glass, yes.
Yeah. Those clear, round, look like stones or polished glass from, you know, it's amazing what the sea will do to a stone or a piece of glass. It just makes such beautiful
Absolutely.
Jewels, doesn't it, eh? Gorgeous.
Beautiful stuff. Okay, well, there you go. Now, Hatter. We had cobalt blue as the theme, and I know. Did you want to talk about how you found writing about this?
Oh, it was just a little more difficult. I tried finding inner meaning that might exist, and I wasn't aware of the cobalt. Chemical or the mineral and the blue, anything that would be called that, and I was struggling that way, but I did get a piece
yes. done. No. Look, it's going up on the board now, so
okay, cool.
Well, why don't we get you to read it now?
Okay. And by chance, we have a glass beach out here in California that's the biggest in the world. And look at glass beach in California and the pictures.
Okay.
It's just amazing.
Oh, I've seen it. I would so love to go there. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to have to bounce because I'm getting tired and I'm getting
okay,
the migraine kicking in. So I have to take
my medication.
Your voice is good, Andy.
So... I'll talk to y'all later.
Brandy.
All right. Thank
Have
y'all
fun.
For
Have
having me.
Have a good night. Thanks, Brandy.
Night, y'all. Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okie doke, Hatter, we're in your hands.
Okay, I just went to this generic cobalt blue. Where the darkest ends and the colors begin, the grays are gathered in twos. I follow the memory, knowing you dream of me, waiting for it to come true. I painted the clouds to the cheering crowd from a can of cobalted blue. I wonder in shades, was it here for a day, or could it be somewhat new? Twisted and tangled, molested and mangled, the colors are blended as one. I'll try to find, if you don't mind, maybe I'll get lucky and get some blue.
I like how you ended it. I twisted and tangled, molested and mangled, the colors are blended as one. I like that. I'll try to find, if you don't mind, maybe I'll try and get some. It sort of reminded me of a Wayne poem somehow, you know. It sort of wandered into the Wayne territory, and I thought, well, that's interesting. We're sort of rubbing off on each other. Lady A, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was very humorous, I have to say. But, you know, I really like seeing that line, though. Let me see, where is it? Okay, I wonder in shades, was it here for a day, or could it be somebody new? Now, that's optimistic to hear. I think that's the first time I've ever read anything like that, and I'm assuming that it's, you know, someone new to love, and wouldn't that be wonderful? And so that was quite interesting, because it's a different, and just if it's not true, just let me dream, okay? Don't say anything that it's not.
Don't let it be.
Someday will want to love me like that. So, and then I really thought that was good. I'll try to find, if you don't mind. Maybe I'll get lucky and get some. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
No, we like. Lady A and I were on the same page, I think, Tata. Deb, what did you think of this one?
Well, I thought it was cool how you strung us along with the patented Hatter rhyme and flow and the little couplets, and then all of a sudden you smack us with the last two stanzas there. And I'm like, I agree, there was a twist of Wayne mixed in there, so we really do rub off on one another. But like twisted and tangled, molested and mangled, getting a little scared of you, Hatter, just saying.
Well, it was one of those moments where you, with me, after I've started writing, I've got some stuff that I know I have to edit. I'm looking for a good way to end it, you know, and I thought of this, maybe I'll get some, because it's just too good not to use. So, busted and mangled came next.
Yeah, that's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, no. Well, if I would if I was him, to be honest, you know. So, there you go. And Hatter, going to do my second little brevity, because I'm a bit like Lady A. I have some blue glass, and the blue glass sits down the end of my bed. So the first thing I see in the morning is the couple of blue glass pieces in the sun, which is kind of nice. And that way I sort of know it's time to be thinking about getting up. So this is our first rays, and it goes a little bit like this. Through the broad skylight, see first rays strengthen off dew, waltzing up a wide shelf that divides so I can see your room outline too. Beams dance across space, seeking out the strands of a day. Rebounding upon darkened alcoves, I observe the shapes of array. Whippers bounce over cream, tarries when resolves to shadows, glistens if discovers a sharper edge. Over darker curtains it narrows. And those rays stop to tarry, they illuminate colours through, and they always lounge upon glass in champagne of cobalt blue. End poem.
Mm. Lovely.
It should pay. Wow.
Hey, what did you think?
Well, I love the cadence of this one, for sure, AP. I thought that it was very much like a song, and I love those two pieces of glass that you have there are gorgeous. Is it Murano glass, those two pieces?
The one on the left is actually an Australian designer who called Richard Morell, and was very famous in the 80s. I think I gave away half of the world's Morell glass as 21st presents to all of my friends. And the one on the right is a Murano style piece that I got at the market probably only about 6 weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when you had put these up when you purchased them. But your poem is a beautiful description of what you're seeing, and I love how through the broad skylight I see first rays strength enough to waltzing up a wide shelf that divides so I can see a room outline too. I thought it was very sing-songy when the cadence of it was slightly different, but, you know, it still has your stamp on it, your AP stamp, and I love the last verse, and those rays stop it to tarry, they illuminate colors through, and they always lounge upon glass in champagne of cobalt blue. That's a brilliant verse, a beautiful verse right there. Lovely job.
No, thanks, buddy. I was mucking around with sonnets a couple of days ago, and I've sort of got myself into the Shakespearean meter. I don't mean to, but I have. So that's why it's probably
beautiful.
Bouncing around quite nicely.
I think it gives it a nice whimsy feel. The details are like light and whimsical, and I can just picture the light shining on the wall as the sun hits it. And what a nice view to wake up to. It's a great chair.
Waltzing up a wide shelf.
Yeah.
Waltzing up a wide shelf.
Yes, I've got a white shelf. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
So it sort of acts as the sort of, I've sort of got like a sort of apartments all in one, and that big sort of 6 foot high sort of white shelf sort of splits it into two.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed in my piece, I used the word cobalt as a verb. Cobalted?
Yes, I saw that. I cobalted, yes.
You did? Okay.
I did.
Okay, I thought I'd sure get a comment on it.
No, but it's very clever. Yeah. I was going to say something and then I completely forgot. But no, you're right. You used it in an unusual fashion, Adder.
Had to.
So. Well, no, you didn't have to, but you did. You did. So, you know, that's always a good thing. So.
Yeah, it made me work. I had to work at this piece, and that's good. That's good. Work it out.
There's absolutely nothing wrong, Hatter. With a piece that you have to work on, you know. So when I was trying to do it, because Asama's keen for me to do a sonnet with her. So I wanted to do a sonnet to show her that there's a whole heap of things she's got to learn before we can do a sonnet together. Not just syllable counting, but more precisely that da-dum, 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 da-dum rhythm. And
sonnets... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Keep going.
I was just saying that sonnets to me sound wrong.
Really?
Not all lines. Yeah, it's like the second verse. I think it's the second line count. Maybe it's just the way I write that it sounds like it's one step too long in a second. In some of the counted lines, I'd have to go through and tell you which one it is in each one. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my own ear that picks it up, and it you know,
it doesn't bounce to Hatter's tune. Bounces to its own.
Doesn't tickle the feather in my brain.
Yeah,
that's
it's interesting.
You have this Hatter pattern, and it's a notable pattern. And if it's any beats off in one way or another, it's not what your brain is telling you it should sound like.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right.
Or your hat's on too tight.
Because no, because Hatter, if you have a look at your second lines of your writing, like, for example, in Cobalt Blue, the second line and the fourth line, they're always, almost always, shorter than the first line. Yeah?
Yes.
And
yes.
And further, the shorter lines, if you look at them, tend to typically have seven syllables. And
yes.
So your pattern is to have a seven-syllable sort of second and follow-up line, whereas, of course, in a sonnet, every line is eight syllables. And so the second and fourth line, the sixth line, eighth line, are going to feel long because they've got an extra syllable in them compared to your pattern.
Yep. You know, I that's a good observation because I don't pay attention to that anymore, but I know when I try to do long line rhyme, but I broke them up on this one. It just overlapped. I think it's because I don't know what your screen looks like. The phone cuts them down. But I try to keep them in the long line rhyme so you don't notice that count, because you're right. It's always one, at least it's always one count shorter if I try.
Yes.
And I didn't know I got close where the I'm a sonnet guy.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So and so the sonnet is very rigid in its format because it has the eight syllables every line, but it also has the unstressed and stressed syllable repetition. And so when you get it right, it sounds fantastic, but when you get it wrong, it sounds bloody awful. But trying to construct it is a pain in the ass. I mean, really, you know, I know Titus and some of the other writers are fantastic at them and are brilliant at them, and they just do them. But for me, it just comes down to it actually is a lot of work to make it get it right, you know.
I know what you mean. And I think it disrupts the flow. I struggle to keep the rhyme in line. I feel handcuffed when I have to count also.
Yes. Yes.
And like I said, it's always the second one is always one, at least one count shorter. I don't know what it is.
Yes. No, I think it's the rhythm that you have in your head sort of natively sees you slightly shorter than the standard from the sonnet. That's my theory anyway.
I'm doing a 4-2 and they're at a 4-4-2.
Yeah. There you go. Just an observation. Now, what was I going to do? I think I was going to head across to you, Deb, because I know you have a Cobalt Blue poem. And so I was thinking we might do that one next.
Can I pull another blue one up?
What? Hold up.
Can you pull a right that I have of blue?
Oh, Deb's going to be right back. So, I've got a blue poem, but before I go to mine, I think what I might do is that we actually got a poem from Pretty Bird, so I might put that up on the board and do the SoundCloud while Deb is away, and then we'll do Deb when she comes back. So bear with me.
Okay.
I just noticed that on the board. I've put Pretty Bird's poem up on the board, and I'm now going to do the SoundCloud. So here we go.
Cobalt is beautiful until every shape is melancholy. By Pretty Bird. Blinded by a saline drip and the pitch of dehydrating wildflowers, the world on its ears still can't hear your laughter. I read words that feel like you, until they fade like worn memories, fleeing unseen into the umbra of wasted time. My heart is flung over my shoulder like a pair of broken heels after a rough night, contemplating the consequences of dumping it with every bin I pass. But it holds you tenderly in its desiccated, deformed grasp, which somehow makes it beautiful. The voices tell me you weren't real, but I gather melancholy shapes that smell like kings, staring at the scale of truth and denial, never a balanced equation from any perspective. Logic screams in my sleep, but your laughter still feels like home.
Isn't that here?
Lovely work. Hannah, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, classic Pretty Bird. The way she reads, there's a, she changes the tempo in urgency. I think she does, it really
yes.
adds to her right. Is she here?
No.
Yeah, she has a tendency of, she has a tendency of faking sound cards, just say it.
No, no, brilliant, brilliant work, and really beautifully, beautifully, beautifully spoken. Lady A, I think you've probably commented on this poem before, but did you want to say a few words?
Well, I just think that Pretty Bird has such a beautiful voice to read at any of her poems, and this one is, as you said, I commented on it before a couple of years ago, and I'll just read my comment from before because I mean I still feel the same way. It's on this, this is absolutely stunning. Your word choices are magnificent. The imagery, metaphor are brilliant. I was greatly moved. I read words that feel like you. Fantastic. Hearing you read made them become alive. Your voice so very beautiful. And Pretty Bird writes with a tremendous amount of emotion, I find. And she has a skill to put lines together like, I read words that feel like you. She has such a gift when she does. I love her writing because she is so intelligent when she writes in, as far as being able to put the literary devices together in a way that don't sound forced whatsoever. They're fully coming from her own, like you can see them falling off her tongue. I just think it's just fantastic. Like I'll read that verse. I read words that feel like you until they fade like worn memories, fleeing unseen into the umbra of wasted time. This poem, I remember, it, you know, and as it was read, she read it tonight, it makes me want to cry because of the beauty of the written word that she's given, but the story that's being told as well.
Yeah.
Voices tell me you weren't real, but I gather melancholy shapes that smell like kings. Oh, just beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely write. And it was beautifully read. Too, Pretty Bird does have a very engaging reading voice, and does a wonderful job of reading poetry. So, now Hannah, G. Lars was with us early on, and then had to unfortunately drop. Come back and said, if he had been with us, he would have. Read the following poem. So I'm going to read the poem on his behalf. So this is a poem called What It Takes by G. Lars. And it goes, of course, a little bit like this. In the old trunk, I found Father's medals. He was a rock even back then. He only ever talked about the good times. Every Memorial Day, he cinched on his old military uniform with the other community comrade men at the graveyard, Popwood bark the squad's orders, and three shocking rifle volleys rocked the bystanders and mothers. As kids, we would scramble to find the hot metal casings. After the ex-military men marched off, having singed the cemetery flagpole's front lawn. When once old enough, I did my sacred duty, enlisted right up into the Navy, and so many veterans before me, I did what was told to me very clearly. Now, our list of dead is long and lengthy, planted feet first, and we are looking forward. Oh, my God, what of this world? Good morning to America, and again to the whole globe. End poem.
Speaking of the greatest generation.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
they will. Can you hear me all right? Okay.
Yep, can do, Hatter. Yep.
Yeah, great,
you know,
tribute
this is,
to
this
the pop.
Right.
Go ahead, A.A.
I was just saying, like, this poem, you know, as you read it, you can visualize the veterans at the local graveyard, the local cemetery, and the, you know, marching and performing their, whatever they call that, I forget now what you call, when they do the presenting of arms and that sort of thing. Together, and
colors,
you know, you can realize everything
color.
That he's saying, and then he gets down to the last first verse. And now our list of dead is long and lengthy, planted feet first, and we are looking forward. And oh my God, what of this world? Good morning to America again, to the whole globe. You know, it's just overwhelming when you think about how many, especially the Americans, like how many Americans have died over these last 30 or 50 years or better in war that seems to never have stopped for America, you know, since the World War II. You know, you had World War I, and then there was a bit of a reprieve for a few years, but from World War II, you know, and then the Korean War, and then the Vietnam War, and then Iran and Iraq, and all these crazy, it's insanity. And it just, this last verse really jumped out as like, oh my God, what of this world? You know, really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It did certainly jump out. Really just spoke of, as you say, the wars and the battles that America has been in for decades. So it caught that really powerfully. Deb, are you back with us?
Well, that was odd timing. I was just writing the words, I'm back on the board.
Ah, there you go. So you probably missed that poem by G. Lars. He put it up on the board as the one he was going to do for the show.
Yeah, I missed it, but I was looking at it while you guys were commenting. I was struck by, where is it, in the center, as kids would scramble to find hot metal casings after ex-military men marched off, having singed the cemetery flagpole's front lawn. And I don't know why. I mean, I've been to many of the color guards exhibits and 21 gun salutes and stuff, and I never thought about collecting those casings afterwards. I guess I kind of assumed that they shot blanks nowadays, but there would still be a casing. It just never clicked until then.
Yes.
So that part hit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just me. But great share. It's a shame he had to go before
Absolutely.
He could read it. Oh, and I see it. It's been on the front page as well. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great read, too, Ace.
Yeah. Oh, no, not at all. So, Deb, I'm going to cycle home now, if that's okay, which is Midnight Blue at the Cobalt Beach.
Oh, I forgot I even brought one. Okay, yeah. Mine was just about the blue colors mostly, but figured it would work. It's called Midnight Blue at the Cobalt Beach, and here we go. Tungsten stars light the gooseberry skies as the chromium sea and horizon collide. Potassium moon tosses out neon beams to mirror the face of the foaming ebb tide. Under wet, salted waves, the ocean churns, rolling clams and conch shells to the land. Horseshoe crabs, starfish, and lobsters, too, lay shipwrecked on lithium dunes of sand. A whale and two dolphins jump and dive. The shark schools hunt and jellyfish float. Seven seahorses swim with nine starfish cruising the hull of the fiberglass boat. Fat cobalt clouds blanket the landscape, eclipsing the white of the bright satellite. Captains at the pier drop anchors down, parking tugboats at the dock at midnight. End poem.
Very nice. Very nicely done. And the person who is sort of the home of poetry construction, Nick Baker, said, this is a well-constructed piece. And if Nick says that, you know it's a well-constructed piece because he knows all about well-constructed pieces. And it is. It's very neatly put together and beautiful rhyme and lovely flow and cadence too. Very, very nice. Lady A.
Thank you. You know, this is a rhyming poem, and I still got an HM from Kevin, so I was just like, let me bring this one.
I know. You've got, the minute that you actually get any colour of metal from Kevin and it's a rhyming poem, you know you've done really well.
Right.
Lady A, did you want to say something?
Yes, I was just finishing up my note to Mr. Lars. Deborah, you always write beautifully, and I know because you know with this whole beach thing, you and I are on the coast, and there's a kindred spirit with that. And I loved how you described the colors of like the chromium sea and the horizon collide with potassium moon and neon beams, and you're full of, you know, your pieces are full of color. And then you talk about what you're finding in the sea and the horseshoe crabs and lobsters and lithium dunes of sand, and you're so full of imagery that you can't help but see everything that you're speaking about. And you know, you talk about the jellyfish and the seahorses and starfish. And fat cobalt clouds blanket the landscape. Love that. Eclipsing the white of the bright satellite. But the whole piece is beautiful. And parking the tugboats, I got a kick out of that, at the dock at midnight. And the whole piece is beautiful. I loved it. I can tell when people that write about the sea who have actually been to the sea or live by the sea or that sort of thing, because only somebody that has experienced it, I believe, can speak of it in this manner. So I loved it. And congratulations on your was it a front page pick that you got for this?
No, just an HM from, I mean, not just. I got
an HM
from Kevin.
Yeah. Good job. Great stuff.
Thank you.
And
yes,
Hannah.
Say, I've got to catch the boat.
I got to what?
I've got to
catch the boat.
I've got to catch the boat.
Now say, I know all about the boat.
I know all about the boat. You're
okay,
trying to talk to
you.
Me, get me Canadianese. I can see.
No,
no,
I can tell.
No, not at
Hatter,
all.
Did you
not
at all. No, behave. Hatter, did you want to say some words about Deb's piece?
Yeah, Lydia had it right. The description. This is a beach bum, not bum, girl. The Let me ask you this. Where does the glass come from when it rust washes up on the regular beaches? The one out here in California is because they were used to roll cars out there.
I wouldn't call it anything glamorous. It's from polluted waters that glass bottles break and the pieces get tossed around by the ocean and eventually wash up on shore all shiny and pretty. I would imagine shipwrecks and whatnot, but like I would say the cobalt ones were from old medicine bottles and stuff, and the browns are possibly from beer or medicine and so on and so forth. But for the most part, it's pretty garbage.
Yeah.
If you want to get that.
Yeah, I just need to dump. Sure.
Yeah, fair warning, Hatter.
Yes.
Hatter, it is your turn to pick the topic for next week, so you need to think about what that's going to be.
Oh, shoot. I was thinking about that. Let's see. Okay, give me a minute.
I was going to give you a minute because, of course, I noticed during the week that there's a couple of probes up on Mars at the minute, Hatter, and what they discovered, and they discovered this a few years ago, although they're able to film it this time, is that there are clouds on Mars on certain occasions. And the clouds are 60 miles high, formed of crystal carbon dioxide. And so because they're such strange beasties, they have beautiful colours that come through these clouds, and they're filtered like in the clouds change colour depending on the on where the sun is. And so I had to write about it. So this is my poem called, you know, Adventurously, Shimmering Clouds. And the image is from NASA of Mars, and they are real Martian clouds. And it goes a little bit like this. High above the surface of rubble, there float clouds in the Mars sky. Formed with this gaseous rubble, they sweep on past surface nigh. Carbon dioxide speculate frozen as similar sized molecules gather. So the light patterns then chosen are from ice crystals that lather. And that means delicate colours, colours shimmy pastel through, kaleidoscope by paint scores of pinks and greens towards blue.
Okay, I'm not there. I have not. Lady A, you want to come in?
Well, I thought it was brilliantly written. I love how you talk about the carbon dioxide speculate frozen, and the you waxed very scientific in some areas of this as well, I thought, and I love the and that means delicate colors. Colors shimmery pastel through a kaleidoscope of paints, scores of pink and greens toward blue. Absolutely love that last verse. You seem to be able to close off your poetry with something that's really profound and a really great punchline to it. So this is beautiful.
Thank you.
I think they might have set up a Genesis bomb. Set us a Genesis bomb on Mars. There's actually clouds.
There's clouds.
Wow.
There's clouds. That's a real Martian picture. A real Martian rock with real Martian clouds.
Really? Suppose they're happy little clouds?
They're probably happy little clouds.
It's bloody high. It's bloody high. I'll give you that.
There's no chance that it's anything else other than condensation, right? I mean, that's what it's
got to be. Don't think so, Hatter. But what I did find interesting was all the scientists wanting to have a look at the clouds because they keep on changing colour, and they just love looking at the clouds on Mars. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, it'll be I'll be writing for that.
Actually, sounds
writing on that for a couple of years.
Anyway.
I think that the transition of colors and stuff in here is really awesome, and I'm trying to imagine how much more like Earth it can get during my lifetime. And that
now, did you know Mars had
an actual picture?
That
NASA.
Is an actual picture
okay,
from
yeah.
NASA.
Wow.
Yep, real picture. Yep.
Do you know
yep.
that
real
to,
picture,
to
not
me,
stuff around.
To me, the shape over that mountain that's formed there. The speckledness of it. There's something about it that mimics the Milky Way's shape and form. Anyway.
Mm. Yep.
You know what that rock is?
What it made me think
that's
of.
Where that's where Captain Kirk fought the Gorgon on that rock.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that. But
did you know Mars had moons? Did you know Mars had moons?
I think it's got some little moons, doesn't it, from memory?
It's got two satellite moons, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that Mars is fascinating, Hatter, because we now know it's got rain. We know it's got rivers. We know it's got clouds. I mean, you know, it's starting to look, not, as Deb said, not wildly dissimilar from where we are now, except that it's lost its atmosphere. Apart from that, you know.
Yeah, very good chance it had an atmosphere that was ripped away from it. Greenhouse effect.
Very, very good chance it had an atmosphere as well. Absolutely. Once upon.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, I sort of I had to think about the pastel colours and stuff, but, you know, it just, as I said, that only came through this week from NASA, and so I thought, no, funky it fits with blue. There you go.
Now, I've added a picture to the room,
and
black sea glass, as you can see, very thick that I collected. When I started picking it up on the beach, I thought they were black rock. And then you hold it up to the light, and you can see the edges are very, very, very dark green. And it's from the 1800s. The thicker, I found this out through going to a researcher that had a sea glass shop, I guess you could say, and she made jewelry out of a lot of it. She had the history of the sea glass. And this glass that I've got in this picture is from the 1800s. The thicker the glass is, the older it is as well.
Right.
And so, yeah. Thought that was an interesting
lovely stuff. Now Hatter, do you have any thoughts at all about what you might do choose for a topic for next week?
I'm having a thought. Yes, let me see, they have 5 more minutes.
More minutes.
Thank you.
And while you do that, I was going to tell a story. How's that? While you do that.
Okay.
Because my father was an accountant, and he ended up being the head of accounting at one of the universities here in Melbourne. And as you do, he had a secretary that sort of sat outside his office in those days. And interestingly enough, the person that was his secretary is very proud because her eldest son was studying law at one of the very prestigious Australian Melbourne universities. And because her son had decided to suspend his course and had decided that he'd stop law because the band that he'd been in had been getting really successful in the pubs around Melbourne. And so he threw in his law degree to have a go at the band, Hatter.
Sure.
And my father said to her, oh, look, this is bad news. You realise this, you know, because you know, there's a whole heap of bands around. Not many of them are very successful. And, you know, I hope he can go back and study law. Anyway, the long and the short of it was that he actually didn't. He never went back and studied law because he became far too successful in the band that he was in. And the band that he was in was a band called Hunters and Collectors. And Hunters and Collectors are still together now after 30-odd years, and the guy's name was Mark Seymour. And Mark Seymour was the lead singer. And he never went back to do law because he ended up earning a whole stack of money out of Hunters and Collectors as its lead singer.
What kind of music?
And so I was going to get, I don't know if we've got a little bit of time, Deb, but a song called Holy Grail by Hunters and Collectors. We might finish the show with it. So Holy Grail, Hunters and Collectors, and it'll give you an idea of the sort of music they did. But brilliant singer and a fantastic band. And he probably was going to be a great lawyer, but he ended up being a musician. So
I'll be right back,
okay?
Okay,
no dramas at all.
Be right back.
So Deb, I don't know if we can find Holy Grail by Hunters and
Found
Collectors.
Found it on my way
can,
to the
we'll...
studio already.
Oh, it's a brilliant thing. So there you go. Just a fantastic. Fantastic band, actually, Lady A. Great pub band, and they could sing a decent song too. So
nice.
Anyway, so I think what I'll do is I will do another blue poem while Pat has disappeared, and. I think what I will do is I will do a little poem called Bluegrass. Lydia? A little poem called Bluegrass. So I will put it on the board while everybody's busy doing different things, and it goes a little bit like this. Shows speak of loss, a gloomy stirring, a grey sky. I'm locked down on paints. As bluegrass sweeps by. Blocks drift of steel clouds feed lazy autumn mists. Okay, no longer truck driving, years of oil chasing wisps. Searching rare showers, hills ford, valleys trace. Spatula is ladled heavy, shades fall into space. Touched by brushstrokes, silence of shorter days. Loneliness in cabin weeks, television voices do raise. Grasses, canvas warming, fill my landscape's frame. Capture hazes around me. With an easel, I paint rain. End poem.
Beautiful.
Okay, I got next
week's
sorted.
You've got next week sorted.
Write a love poem about
next week. Write a
love poem to Lady A and her beaches.
Ooh.
Write a love poem to Lady A and her beaches.
Her beaches.
Okay.
Beaches.
And her beaches.
Yay.
Her beaches. We can do that. That's not. That would be
wonderful.
That's what we're up to. We're writing love poems to Lady A and her beaches.
Oh, my gosh, that would be so much fun.
Now, the reason I chose that bluegrass poem, Radio, is because that was written back when we were in lockdown. And we were in lockdown here in Melbourne, you might recall, for about 100 days. We are back in lockdown again.
Oh,
and
you're
so
kidding.
It is day...
Oh, no.
No. We are in day 4. Of day 7 of the lockdown again. So we can't go more than 5 kilometers from our house. We can only leave our house for 5 reasons. And if you get caught for anything else or doing any other thing, you can be up for a fine of $2,000 per occasion.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, masks on everywhere we go. You can only leave home for, what is it, exercise, food, caring for somebody, forgotten one thing, and getting vaccinated. And there's one other thing.
So what happened?
Anyway,
how, did,
have,
like, what, did they trace
we
it back at all?
Yeah. We had an outbreak from a person who came back from India came across from South Australia, and we've had 35-odd cases from that one person. So, anyway.
Wow.
Such is life.
Isn't it remarkable?
Lockdown again.
How they can trace it, how they can track that. It's remarkable how they do that.
Yeah. No, we tracked it right back. But there's about 150 exposure sites. And so, of course, I've been at none of them, but even still, it's
but I think that people that do that sort of thing, that travel when they're not supposed to travel and don't protect themselves, and they come back and cause something like this to happen, I really, honest to God, believe they should be paying gargantuan fines. They know better.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember that one story of the guy that traveled home from somewhere. And when he got off the plane, he told the people that he flew with that he was positive with the COVID. Now, you can call that gentleman anything you want, but think of it. Step out of get in his shoes for a second. He's got a plane ticket home somewhere. Who knows where he's been or what he's trying to accomplish, but he's got a ticket home in his pocket. Now he's told to give the seat up for possibility of
yep.
You know, it was just in its infancy. So the guy gets on the plane. No, the guy has balls because I'll tell you what, to get off the plane and announce to everybody, that's respect and responsibility. But you don't have to agree with what he did. But that kind of a story probably happened quite often.
Yeah, probably right, Tata. Getting out of certain places, like for example, India, which has been had a shocking run. Next week, Hatter, next week we are writing love poems to Lady A and the beaches, okay?
And her beaches. Lady A and her beaches.
Yes. We got that. Yep, we're there.
Okay.
So.
Wonderful.
Deb, are you back with us, or are you still on that task that I set you?
Oh, that's been done. Sorry, I should have said
that. Oh, has it? Good Lord, that was
nice. Yes, if you refresh, it's under AP.
Okay. So, Hannah, I have to go also after the music's been played. Say thank you to everybody who called in, because we had a huge number of people call in this week.
Today we really did. Today is National Paperclip Day.
National what?
Really?
Paperclip.
Paperclip. Oh, okay. What don't we have a national day for? Jeez. Okay. And tomorrow at 11, Hatter's hosting the rain date show for Dave Prophet. If anybody can for a little bit, that would be great.
Okay.
He's got a lot of poems to read, and we can be educated on the Dark Mother.
Yeah, we're talking about space, all the stuff that he loves the quantum theory, he loves space travel, everything out there, and I'm talking to him about his knowledge.
Cool. Sign up for your prompt for Monday. Back to you.
Sign up for Monday. Be there tomorrow for Dave Prophet and his show that was held over from a little bit. So be there for that. And to Deb, particularly for setting up things at short notice. To Lady A for being with us the whole way through, to Sky, to Stephen and Kay, to G Lars, to Brandy. Just trying to think if I've missed anybody. But that's a good start.
Yes. The last time we really had time for the think tank we were talking about at the other end of this pandemic, what is something that will stick that it would be profitable? Every incident like this or event usually has something that comes out of it, a positive. I'm not trying to demean the COVID virus, but in society, what is going to remain the same? What changed? What will go back, revert back, and what won't? Some of that stuff is starting to appear. Now, I had mentioned the delivery, the drones and the delivery, and I don't know what it's like in Australia, but we're having all sorts of medical drone delivery systems, this kind of thing. We're also getting people understanding the overhead for offices not needed sometimes, so they are driving to the doctor's office. It's all telephonic. One of my carriers, medical carriers,
It's a good question, Hatter. I suspect that we're going to see a lot better sort of hygiene practices from here on in, just because everywhere you go, there's the sort of hand hygiene stands, and there's the people are getting so used to cleaning their hands religiously that I suspect we'll probably see that things like the flu are far less virulent from here on in, because the hand hygiene and stuff has become so much better.
I think you're right, but in the same breath, what's going to come too is people are not going to be as social. They won't be touching each other. The space will be the new space still. People keep picking.
Yeah. I think there's a very natural sort of thing that's getting beaten out of us about shaking hands and high fives and physical personal contact.
Eye contact.
It's getting stopped. Even eye contact. Yeah, I'm with you too. Yep. I think you could say on one hand you sort of gain because there's less flu, but on the other hand you sort of lose because you're losing that sort of personal connection with people and that interaction with people that was just sort of natural, but now, as I said, sort of beaten out of you. Yeah.
and the electronic age where people sit in the same damn room and speak to each other by texting, physical contact is going to be something that they talk about. You know what they used to do back in the day, blah, 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 and that's sad
because
I'm a hugger.
They're going to watch home movies and go, look at that, they're hugging. Oh, my God.
They're hugging, yeah.
I was fortunate enough to go to New Zealand in the last week before we got into this horrible bloody lockdown again. And it was such a pleasure to be at a board meeting with the people that I'd only been interacting with over the video conference for 15 months. And I've got to say, we got a lot more done too. In being there in person than we ever did over the video conference. So I think there's something still that says that personal human interaction for us older folk anyway is necessary.
Yeah. I think your time, people will be scheduling their time better. Like you said,
I think they'll be more precise.
It'll be more valuable. Yes. It'll be more valuable. Yeah, it'll be more valuable to them.
Yes.
Whatever
I agree. And I think we're already sort of seeing that to an extent. But no, I agree with you. I think that the sort of days of sort of bumping into each other as you happen to because you do, we're sort of going towards the more. You know, the more precise sort of nature of having something in a calendar.
You know, we should look into, this is just a thought. Now, have you seen the sleeves that you can buy with tattoos on it? It looks like your arms all tatted out. It's just a sleeve, a piece of hosiery.
Oh, yes, I have seen those, yes.
You've heard that? You can see that? Now, if we could
yes.
do that with gloves, have one that's long enough, you know, to go clear to your elbows or whatever, it's sort of a non, kind of if you got it on to match colors, pins, but you keep in the glove that you can still pick up a dime. People want that security in their in their minds that they are safe behind touching anything. I'm just thinking that,
I think, Hatter, that we're going to have more designer gloves and masks and stuff as we go forward than ever before. Yeah. I mean, I can see how you're going to have masks and gloves where you sort of rip off the top layer and there's another 15 below, you know. And so you sort of dispose of the top layer, but you keep on wearing them because there's multiple layers left to come, you know.
We might as well start the technology of those lighted shirts and a little thought bubble we can project above our heads that tell everybody
yes.
of our mood to stay away
yes.
or if
yes.
you're accepting conversation today. Why don't we get that started?
Yes.
'Cause that's going down the road too.
And I was going to say, I think what we'll see is that we'll see limited edition artistic, you know, expensive masks and gloves. You know, we'll see people
wearing this whole thing
is the works of art.
I just can't stand it.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's 10 years ago, people told me that I could walk into a liquor store with a mask on.
Yeah.
And it would be okay. Now, when does that? Let's just say they get a handle on this pandemic virus. Okay, everything's cool. Will they
yes.
tell you you are not allowed to wear masks again? Because after the SARS thing in Japan, people still wore the masks.
Good question, Hatter. Will masks and gloves become sort of de rigueur, if you like? You know, will they become just part of what they do?
When will it be uncomfortable to walk into a liquor store wearing a mask? I mean,
that's a good question.
It's already going to be a little eerie
for a bank.
Everybody.
Or a bank?
Yeah, exactly. Hatter. Yeah, I remember mine. You had to take your hat and sunglasses off.
Yeah. But I think we'll be living with this thing for the next 3 or 4 years, and I think that will change a lot of things in that period.
So look for the upgrade in gloves being more sanitized to keep you safe from touching certain things. I don't know
yes.
what that technology is. And what you have to add to a glove to make it that acceptable, you know?
That's a good question.
But yeah, I think you're right.
It's
designer.
Anyways, that was sort of a mini think tank, wasn't it, Hatter? Really? A mini think tank. But anyway, we are almost at the end of our time. And so thank you to Deb. Thank you to yourself, obviously, Hatter. Thank you to Lady A for sticking with us for the whole time. I wanted to go out with Holy Grail by Hunters and Collectors, which of course was the lead singer was the eldest son of my father's secretary. So I have a connection to the Hunters and Collectors, but in fact I think it's a decent song. So until next time, when we come back, when we are doing love letters to Lady A and the beaches that surround her, the beaches. This is Nick Seymour and Holy Grail by Hunters and Collectors, and we'll catch you in next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, AP. Thanks,
Hatter. Okay, thanks, everybody. And here we go, Nick Seymour, Holy Grail, Hunters and Collectors.
Astro Mix.
Oh, so high. In the biggest army the world has ever seen.
were marching as one on the road to the Holy Grail. Started out seeking fortune and glory. It's a short song, but it's a hell of a story when you spend your lifetime trying to get your hands on the Holy Grail. But have you heard about the Great Crusade? We ran into millions and nobody got paid. Yeah, we raised four corners of the globe for the Holy Grail.
So he could have gone and just been a regular law student. Anyway, he would have listened to my father and that would have happened. But anyway, next week we're on once again for Hatter and Deb and I, and we are looking for love poems to Lady A and the beaches around her. And until then, have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
The Queen of Canada.